Let's start here.
I was entering sort of prepubescence and pubescence at that golden era of Disney animated musicals. Like, I was 10 when Little Mermaid came out and rocked my world. And
then, by the same director as Moana, by the way.
Yes. And then it was Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, Lion King. It was like four in a row of just like, brilliant. And in totally different ways. I was exactly the right age for those.
Antidepressants are essentially frog sperm. And that no one, not even those who are suicidal, should be on the meds.
Not even the very most depressed patients. No one shows that much difference between drug and placebo. Not even close.
This is WVXU's new discovery podcast, Start Here, H-E-A-R. A brief sample of the over 300,000 and growing podcasts available today. I'm Trip Eldridge. I'll be your PJ, your podcast jockey, sampling the latest and the greatest podcasts and episodes. Think of Start Here as your go-to place to hear a quick sample of some of our favorite new and up-and-coming podcasts. And to keep it simple and not use too much of your time, we'd like to focus on just three podcasts in each of our episodes, two from the rapidly expanding national podcast world, and one from the rich and ever-growing creative community right here in Cincinnati in the Tri-State. And we'll also check in on the hottest podcasts from the iTunes podcast charts, a brief review of the movers and shakers on the podcast version of the old Billboard 100. And remember, you can always get a complete listing of our favorites at Podcast Central on WVXU.org. Most of all, this is a work in progress, so we need your feedback and your help. Please consider becoming a curator at large with us. If you have a favorite podcast, a specific episode you liked, or a collection of episodes or ideas, just email or call us. Tell us your name, your podcast recommendation, why you like it, why you want to share it. Our email is podcast@wvxu.org, or give us a call and leave us a voicemail, 513-294-8030. That's 513-294-8030. So, let's start here. Our first podcast today is No Newbie. It's been around since 2008, but it just keeps getting better. It's an energetic and entertaining look at history, humor, food, and music, plus unconventional wisdom from hosts Rico Gagliano and Brendan Francis Newman. Millions know Brendan and Rico from their work on popular public radio shows Marketplace and Take Two, where they dished out dinner party talking points. They've also appeared on The Splendid Table, which airs Sunday mornings at 11 here on WVXU. Here's a snippet of Dinner Party Download as Rico and Brendan talk with Hamilton creator Lin-Manuel Miranda about his most recent work on the Disney movie Moana.
You know, remember, I'm in the wake of Let It Go.
A minor hit.
So it was like, don't write Let It Go. Don't write Let It Go. That was what I was thinking when I sat down at the piano.
But how hard is it not to write? I mean, in a sense, all of them have a similar feel. They are these grand statements of belief. So how do you avoid, you know, falling into a, I'm going to just write another Let It Go?
The only solution to not thinking about that bar and being in that club is to just double down on what does your character want, what makes her unique, and what makes her very specific, you know. Part of Your World is my favorite I Want song.
From The Little Mermaid, correct?
This is from The Little Mermaid, and it's because it's so specific. You know, that brilliant conceit of her not having the names for the human things. What's that word again? Feet. That's sort of the brilliant thing. I actually wrote a first draft of the song that eventually became How Far I'll Go, called More. And it was a good song. It was perfectly fine. And she was sort of like, all right, I'm hip to this island. I want to see what else is out there. And then I think the key insight that really made the song what it is it's not about not liking where she is and wanting to go somewhere else. She loves where she is. She loves her parents. She loves her island. She loves her community. And there's this voice anyway. And so I felt like that was much more complicated and also much truer to my experience growing up, which was I had loving, supportive parents. I lived in a neighborhood I really liked. I went to a school. I had friends. And yet there was this impossible distance between me wanting to make movies and write shows. I didn't know anyone in show business. I didn't know anyone in that world.
Your mom is a psychologist?
My mom's a psychologist. My dad was in politics. And, you know, it's no accident that I wrote what became the final draft of How Far I'll Go at my parents' house. I kind of went method for it. I like locked myself up in my bedroom and I was like, all right, you're 16 years old and the distance between you and what you want is impossible.
I can lead with pride. I can make us strong. I'll be satisfied if I play along. But the voice inside sings a different song. What is wrong with me?
Actually, this leads nicely to my next question, which is, when you were growing up, what was your I Want song? Something in pop music, maybe that crystallized how you wanted to be? Or...
Well, you know, it's interesting. To me, my favorite rap songs are I Want songs in disguise. They are this is my world and I'm going to get out of here.
Like
Lose Yourself, like Can't Knock the Hustle, like Juicy, you know.
Like most of them, as I'm
like
thinking
most
about.
Most of them are, like, if they're really good, they're I Want songs.
It's like an entire genre of I Want songs.
It kind of is. But I'm trying to think in terms of my adolescence in particular. I was entering sort of prepubescence and pubescence at that golden era of Disney animated musicals. Like, I was 10 when Little Mermaid came out and rocked my world. And
then, by the same director as Moana, by the way.
Yes. And then it was Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, Lion King. It was like four in a row of just like, bruh, bruh, bruh. Brilliant. And in totally different ways. I was exactly the right age for those.
That's Lin-Manuel Miranda on the podcast Dinner Party Download. The show is produced by American Public Media, the company behind Prairie Home Companion, and available on WVXU's Podcast Central. Host and science journalist Wendy Zukerman takes on fads, trends, and the opinionated mob to find out what's fact, what's not, and what's somewhere in between.
The surprising thing that we found was that the people got better when they were taking the drug, but they also got better when they were taking the placebo, and the difference between the response to the placebo and the response to the active drug was much smaller than one would expect from a treatment that had been heralded as constituting a revolution in the treatment of depression.
To him, this discovery was a real breakthrough, something that could change the way that depressed people are treated. But many of his colleagues didn't feel that way.
The reaction was of many people, well, this can't be true. Of course, antidepressants work.
Then came even more research suggesting that Irving was onto something. Around the same time as Irving's 2008 paper came out, scientists were discovering that the claim that the drug companies were making about people with depression needing to boost certain chemicals in their brain wasn't right. In fact, it turned out that people with depression weren't necessarily low on certain chemicals and didn't need them to be topped up. Now, there are other theories about how these drugs work, but the truth is, we still don't know what these drugs are doing. So could it really be all placebo? Irving published more and more papers in 2012, 2014, and 2015, all finding that antidepressants really aren't that much better than a dummy pill. But doctors keep writing prescriptions for antidepressants. Irving says it's because they too are being fooled by the placebo effect. And he says there is a rich history of mistaking placebo for effective medicine.
That's why for so many centuries, bloodletting was thought to be an effective treatment. You have to go back and you'll see the kinds of treatments that they used to use successfully in the history of medicine. It included things like frog sperm and feathers and fur and spiders that were given as treatments that people would ingest. And if it didn't kill them, it might make them better. And that's part of the history of the placebo effect. And
how did they get the frog sperm?
I have no idea. Good question.
Now, to be fair, the psychiatrists that we spoke to said, yeah, we get it. We know that not everyone who is depressed should be given these pills. And lots of psychiatrists, in fact, won't prescribe drugs for some of their depressed patients. The National Institute for Health and Care Excellence, a leading health agency in the UK, specifically says that people with mild depression usually shouldn't be offered antidepressants. They suggest other things, like therapy. But Irving and his research are taking this debate one step further and saying that antidepressants are essentially frog sperm and that no one, not even those who are suicidal, should be on the meds.
Not even the very most depressed patients. No one shows that much difference between drug and placebo. Not even close.
Irving doesn't see patients anymore. But at the time his research started coming out, he did. And he was so confident in his findings that he changed the way he treated his patients.
When I started seeing the data, I stopped referring clients that I was seeing for antidepressant medication.
So, even if he's right and antidepressants are all placebo, who cares? What's the problem with giving people sugar pills if it'll make them feel better, if they can get out of bed and go to work? Who cares what's doing that? Just give the people their frog sperm. Well, not so fast, says Irving. There's something else to consider here. These drugs have many side effects.
Love her Australian accent, don't you? That's Wendy Zukerman with Science Versus, and it's just about to launch its second season next week. Find it at WVXU's Podcast Central. Our final podcast is from our Cincinnati community. It's called Accused, The Unsolved Murder of Elizabeth Andes. It's from two Cincinnati Inquirer journalists, and it's a twist on the investigations podcast like Serial or Making of a Murderer. Instead of focusing, though, on someone wrongly accused, it focuses on a law enforcement who is so sure they had the right man, despite two juries saying they didn't, essentially gave up looking for the right person who strangled and stabbed 23-year-old Elizabeth Andes. She was found murdered in her Oxford apartment in 1978, and police and prosecutors decided within hours that it was an open and shut case. Here's a sample of the local podcast, Accused, The Unsolved Murder of Elizabeth Andes.
In some ways, I feel like a stalker. For nearly a year, I've been tracking every waking moment, every conversation, every move of a woman named Elizabeth Wells Andes. I never met her, but I have her picture on my wall and my desktop and my cell phone. I know her face so well that when I flipped through a yearbook and saw an uncaptioned side profile picture of her as a freshman in high school, I recognized her right away. I'd never even seen her profile before, but I had studied her face. My favorite photo of her looks like it was shot in someone's backyard. She's looking at the camera and flashing this engaging smile, the type that makes you smile right back even though you're only looking at a picture. Even though we've never talked, I feel like I know her. I think I would have liked her, which makes all the other photos I have of Beth even harder to look at. Naked, bound, and bruised, Beth was murdered when she was just 23 years old. She was strangled first and then stabbed, 14 punctures in her chest and 6 more in her neck. The coroner ruled she had not been sexually assaulted, though claw marks on her thighs seemed to hint that someone might have tried. The photos are so awful, so at odds with the happy memories of Beth that her friends and family have.
I remember her certainly as really being pretty happy, smiling, laughing, having a good time.
That's Sue Parmalee, one of Beth's best friends.
Yeah, I think she was happy with her family. She graduated, had a degree, was a pretty good student. Her personality, I think she's just was easygoing.
There are some people in your life who, if you're honest with yourself, you'd have to admit would be a likelier target for something bad, something violent to happen than the rest of your friends. It's not PC to say it, and it certainly doesn't mean anyone ever deserves being targeted. But there are risk factors. Selling drugs, being a hothead, prone to fistfights. But Beth was none of those things.
How do you have a very good friend who's, you know, your wife's best friend, who we would have been lifelong friends.
That's Rich McCauley, a college friend who married one of Beth's roommates.
You get hit by a car, there's a plane crash, you have a heart attack. Okay, I get it. But to be brutalized this way was very hard to see.
Accused, The Unsolved Murder of Elizabeth Andes. The podcast has 11 episodes and was released last fall. It was written and produced by Amber Hunt, a New York Times bestselling author and a longtime crime reporter for The Inquirer and the Detroit Free Press. She teaches journalism at UC. And Amanda Rossman is an Emmy Award-winning photojournalist for The Inquirer and a graduate of Northern Kentucky University. Accused, The Unsolved Murder of Elizabeth Andes. And we wrap up this episode of Start Here with a look at the recent number one podcasts from the iTunes Podcast Top 100 chart. Last week, the number one podcast debuted out of nowhere and vaulted to the top in 3 days. It's called Rabbits, brand new documentary docudrama podcast series from Public Radio Alliance. When Carly Parker's friend Yumiko goes missing under very mysterious circumstances, Carly's search for her friend leads her headfirst into an ancient, mysterious game known only as Rabbits. Soon, Carly begins to suspect that Rabbits is much more than just a game, and the key to understanding rabbits might be the key to the survival of our species and the universe as we know it. And the most recent number one podcast is called Missing Richard Simmons. It follows a documentarian and former Daily Show producer, Dan Taberski, as he tracks down and tries to understand what happened to Richard Simmons, the fitness guru once synonymous with the 80s, who after decades of tireless friendship and generosity through his exercise studio, personal classes, and overall persona, suddenly and inexplicably withdrew from the world. That's now number one on iTunesChart.net. And that wraps up our latest episode of Start Here, WVXU's new Discovery podcast. For more about other podcasts we like, be sure to check out our Podcast Central at WVXU.org. And for more podcast samples like this, check out NPR's The Big Listen featuring Laura Ober. Through interviews, listener recommendations, show snippets, and more, The Big Listen introduces you to podcasts you might never have heard of. Also, for a quick and powerful review of some of the latest podcasts, go to NPR's earbud.fm. They use a unique way to help you discover podcasts with categories like Tell Me a Story, Feast for Your Ears, Geeking Out. And remember, if you've got a podcast or an episode you'd like to recommend, email us, podcast@wvxu.org, or call 513-294-8030, and we'll add your voice to ours. I'm Trip Eldridge for WVXU, and thank you for choosing to start here.